Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Hey, welcome. I'm so excited about the show. I have Kathy Jackson as my co-host.
Hello.
And I'm so happy to have her. And then I have Kathy Turner as my guest. In fact, the title of today's show is Managing and Maintaining a Homeschool Alliance or Association, whatever you call it in your area. And Kathy Turner, she serves as chairman for the Christian Homeschool Alliance of Texas. It's affectionately known as CHAT, C-H-A-T. She and her husband have 5 children, 4 of whom have graduated from her homeschool. Kathy, I'm so glad you're with us. Tell us a little bit about your family.
I met my husband, Don, about years ago. We were both attending Bryan College in Dayton, Tennessee. He got a degree in ancient Greek with a minor in ancient Hebrew. Naturally, that's why he's working in office furniture today, and he owns an office furniture touch-up business. Our oldest son has an associate's degree in math and a bachelor's in psychology and another in children and family services. Our oldest daughter has an associate's degree in math, a bachelor's in music, and is about to start her final semester working on her master's in information and library sciences. Our middle daughter has an associate of arts and is about to start her junior year majoring in international studies and minoring in Japanese. Our youngest daughter is starting college with a concentration in art, and our younger son is about to start his final year of high school. We're beginning our 14th year of homeschooling this year, and this will be our 11th consecutive year.
So when you say his final year of high school, he's still being homeschooled?
He is my last child who has not graduated, and this is his last year. In fact, he's finished all his high school curriculum, but he's young enough that we want to keep him in high school another year, so he's going to be doing some extra courses, both at home for enrichment, and he's also taking some dual credit courses at a local community college.
Yeah, and my whole point in all this, you know, Kathy, you had talked to me a little bit about being nervous about your credentials, and I think that when we fortify and nurture and provide this wonderful crop of young people that have already accomplished so much, I think that is the most credentials anybody could ever ask for, and I think it makes you so qualified to talk to us today about managing, maintaining a homeschool association. And I thank you for, you know, being on the show with us, and now we're going to take a little bit of time and talk to the kids, because we do try to give a little story each week, and we are finishing up. It's called Ozzie the Otter by Kenneth C. Crawford.
Now, we left off last time with Sage. Ozzie's beaver friend was eating some birch bark, and it was irritating to Bull Moose.
Yes. Ozzie swam close to the shore to watch. He noticed that Sage's presence seemed to make the bull angry. She didn't seem to notice, though, and finished her task of chewing through the tree's trunk. When the mighty tree cracked and groaned, the angry bull thought he heard a rival bull moose entering his territory. In his rage, the moose attacked a little beaver as the tree began tilting toward the water.
Sage had backed away from the tree to watch it fall and was standing in the open when the moose attacked. The moose reared up on his hind legs and brought his hooves smashing down, but Sage darted away just in time. He charged again, his ears flat against his head, the hair on the back of his neck standing straight up. Just as it seemed, there was no escaping his fury. The poplar tree came crashing down. The branches of the falling tree caught the bull's massive antlers and flung him to the ground, twisting his neck to one side and pinning him to the floor of the clearing.
The confused moose lay there for a moment and then began flailing around frantically in an attempt to get out from under the tree. Sage flew past the moose to the safety of the river and slapped her tail loudly against the water as she dived under. The bull finally freed himself from the tangled branches and proceeded to vent his rage on the tree. He quickly stripped the limbs with his antlers and then stomped the branches into the soft ground as he searched for the creature that had caused him so much misery.
He reared again and slammed the ground with his front hooves, but his feet broke through into Sage and Ozzy's den. His legs sank down to his knees into the ground, which made him even angrier. In just a few seconds, the powerful moose destroyed their home as he tried to get out of the hole he had made in the ground. Finally, he worked himself loose and stomped off in a sullen rage.
Now we're starting chapter 8. It's called The Narrow Escape. From the safety of the deep water, Ozzy had watched the moose's temper tantrum with fascination. For the rest of the night, he and Sage stayed in the water away from their ruined den. Late the next morning, Sage returned to the den to survey the damages. Finding it completely destroyed, she began working on another den not far away. A sense of urgency drove her efforts as she dug her new tunnel. Time was short, but Ozzy swam back to the warm mineral pool to catch trout and ponder his future.
The cold autumn wind blew dark gray clouds over the sun. Another storm was descending on the river. Ozzy sensed that winter was coming soon, but now he had no home to protect him from the elements.
He stayed close to the hot springs pool until he caught another fat trout and carried it to a large flat rock. Big, fluffy snowflakes began to fall, swirling and tumbling in the wind. Ozzy had never seen snow before, so he swam slowly upstream and then backtracked to his warm pool. He didn't want to leave this familiar place, but the call of home was so strong that he finally swam upstream past the den he had shared with Sage. As he followed the curve of the river, he tested the water for familiar scents, but found nothing. Even the ground was white and strange. He didn't remember this part of the river since he had been too injured the day he was swept through the rapids, but instinct urged him ever onward.
Darkness fell, but he kept swimming until the current became too strong. Now the river seemed to have turned against him, and although his little body was no match for the rushing water of the rapids, he fought the current until he was exhausted. Finding a grassy bank, the weary little otter climbed out of the water to rest. He nosed around in the snow until he found a hollow underneath, a low-hanging alder bush, crawled under it, and fell asleep.
When daylight finally came, the world looked pale, cold, and unfriendly. He lay still for a long time, gazing at the water crashing over the rocks. He seemed to understand that he could not swim against its relentless power, so he stayed where he was, waiting and resting.
Finally, he decided to continue his journey, so he left his resting place and scampered along the steep snow-covered bank. He followed it as best he could, trying to stay within earshot of the roaring water. Loping along in his short, stubby legs, he traveled for several hours before he came to a cottonwood grove and descended a steep hill to a gravel bar in the river. Here the flood had left a series of pools where tiny minnows darted around in the clear water. He scurried after them and caught enough to stop the growling of his empty stomach. He didn't linger long, though, for he was vulnerable to predators when he wasn't in the water.
The setting sun, white behind the distant southern mountains, cast faint shafts of light ahead of the little otter as he continued to run along the river bank. Exhausted at last, he crawled under the root of a large tree and lay gazing out at its strange snowy world. Eventually, he closed his eyes and slept.
Sometime later, he was awakened by the sound of an animal gnawing on something. Thinking of his friend Sage, he listened quietly. Out of the corner of his eye, he caught the sight of a large rabbit tearing bark from the roots of the tree under which he was hiding. The rabbit seemed aware of Ozzy's presence, but paid little attention to him. But it did act nervous, and every few minutes it jerked upright and thumped its foot on the ground.
Suddenly, Ozzy smelled a strange, musty odor that grew stronger and stronger. The rabbit noticed it too and began thumping its back feet in panic. Out of the darkness, a large wolverine appeared. Wolverines are large cousins of otters, but are mean animals that will kill and eat just about anything. Even grizzly bears avoid adult wolverines. This particular wolverine had been following the rabbit's trail with his keen sense of smell, and now he quickly closed on his prey. And we're gonna pause there because we want you to come back next week. So we try to end at an exciting spot. So next week we will see what happens. Will the wolverine catch the rabbit or not? Well, we're going to go to our interview now with Kathy Turner from Texas. And Kathy, I wondered, you know, who really needs to be associated with a homeschool alliance? Why have one?
Oh, I think every homeschooler needs support. We need to have somebody that can help us when we're down, somebody to listen to our problems and encourage us and give us some ideas, and somebody to rejoice with us when we have those triumphs. New homeschoolers especially, they need mentoring, and those of us who are old hands at it really need somebody to take under our wing and mentor. We find that those who have a support system are much more likely to continue homeschooling a second year.
Okay, and what exactly does a homeschool association or alliance look like?
When I first learned I was going to be on the Homeschool Companion, I asked our Homeschool Association members to give me some of their memories of how we started the group. One of the moms said, "What you need is about 5 homeschooling moms who are crazy and think they have too much time on their hands and not enough to do." And in a sense, that's really not that far from the truth. All you need is a few families who want to do some activities together and have support with each other, and you've got the beginnings of a group. Homeschool alliances form around the needs and the desires of the members, and as you develop, each family has to focus on the question of what they want to get from the group and how much they're able to give to the group. Now, some people, they only want to get together at the park once a week. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Others want to get enough people together to get a group discount on the cost of an activity, or have moms and dads get together once in a while to talk over challenges and ideas. But some people want more, and they consider starting a formal group.
I noticed the other day I was at Joanne's Fabrics, and I was with my son, who's a teacher, and so he was getting a teacher's discount, and this other teacher was there, and she's going, "I didn't know you could get a discount." She goes, "I'm a teacher at a preschool." And they said, "Well, you have to bring in evidence from your preschool that you actually teach there." And so she was going to do that, and just then a homeschooling mom came up and presented something, and she got a teacher's discount. And I wondered if your alliance provides some kind of ID so that the homeschooling moms get discounts at some of these teacher stores.
Oh, absolutely, we do. And even for a smaller group that isn't able to fund making up the cards or isn't able to do that, homeschoolers can also go to PEA, P-E-A-H, and PEA also offers homeschool ID cards.
Now that's P-E-A-H?
P-E-A-H.
P-E-A-H.
And it does stand for something, but I'm sorry, this is off the top of my head and I don't remember what it stands for. Somebody somewhere is gritting their teeth that I can't remember the name of their group.
Well, we'll make sure when we write our blog about the show that we go and check it out. And that sounds like a great resource. Well, I have to ask, what is the most important step in forming an alliance?
Well, the most important and the first step always has to be prayer. You have to say, is this really what God has for you?
Amen.
If it is, He'll supply what you need to succeed. And prayer is essential throughout the whole process. You have to ask God for guidance and for unity among those of you who are planning this group. You can't make it without His blessing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what about legal advice? Did you have to seek legal advice?
Well, I think our group was a little bit unusual in that one of our founding moms is an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
So we had somebody who knew the law and had actually recently done some research in the area of what homeschool alliances need to do legally. Most people aren't that fortunate, lucky, or blessed by God is really the term. If you do know someone, or one of your group knows someone, or is related to somebody who is able to advise you of the law regarding the type of group you could have, maybe a nonprofit, or if you need to incorporate, one of your group could possibly talk with them. You can also do a search online for information. Look for national and state groups that can help you with this. You might even decide that you want to go in for a consultation with a lawyer. Most groups can start somewhat informally at first and don't need to worry about becoming any kind of a legal entity, at least for a little while.
Now, you have, I believe there is a homeschool defense I don't know exactly. It's homeschool, legal, defense website that homeschoolers can go to for some advice. Do you have that?
That's right. Homeschool Legal Defense Association, also known as HSLDA. They have a great site to check for information, not only on homeschool groups, but a lot for individually for homeschoolers and the law. They might be able to direct you to other homeschooling support systems in your state that would be familiar with the laws that apply to you.
Yes, I just had a caller call me during the week in between the shows, and in her state, she has a ninth grader. She wants the child to be homeschooled, and so she signed them up for Ashton Online, and it's accredited with the southern states, but Maryland State is saying, no, we don't recognize that. And so she's struggling because she wants to homeschool her child. Her child's been bullied, and so I said, my advice is, you know, seek an attorney, because every state does have its own little idiosyncrasies, and you might be able to be under the radar for a while, but because she's already had her in the public school system, now she'll be in trouble mm-hmm. for truancy. So it is important, especially if the families are looking at, you know, their kids have been in public schools and now they're taking them out to homeschool, and they really need to have some legal support on that. How can, I guess that ties in with how the Homeschool Legal Defense Association could help. Have you had any dealings with needing your attorney friend to help in any of the situations other than just forming a nonprofit?
Actually, no. The state of Texas is very homeschool friendly. I've got to say, it's probably the freest state in the country. You only have to teach like 5-8 required subjects, and there's no certification, there's no notification. There's basically no standards that you have to meet. I guess that the state of Texas trusts you to have your own children's best interests in mind.
Well, that's a blessing. It's not the case in all states, though. But, you know, we could say, you know, move to Texas. Move to Texas, or maybe...
Absolutely. Move to Texas right
move
now.
Move to Texas.
So the state of Texas does have statewide homeschooling support then.
That's right. In Texas, there's statewide support available from the Texas Homeschool Coalition, thsc.org. And in North Texas, I recommend Heart of Texas. That's HEART of TEX.org. Your state and your area might have similar state and regional groups that specialize in supporting homeschool alliances and associations. Both THSC and Heart of Texas have been very active in our state and local governments in working on laws that affect homeschoolers and our freedoms. And we're very grateful for them. They're both excellent, wonderful people.
Right. And when I'm thinking about some of the other nations and the struggle that they've had with homeschooling, I really appreciate the freedoms that we have. I went to a town hall meeting with our congressman, and his name is Roscoe Bartlett, and he was saying that they were starting to enact a law about homeschooling that allow states to enforce the law that every homeschooling parent that was going to homeschool had to be a certified teacher. And the different communities and states that are organized heard about it, and they started calling in to their congressmen and just flooded the lines. And he said that had an impact. The law did not go through. And I think it really does show the power of the homeschool community. And I just,
absolutely.
You know, you've kind of answered my question. Do all homeschool associations have the same type of governing board? I suppose that they don't.
No. You can start out with a simple one family, one vote plan with a president or a chairman, a recording secretary, and a treasurer. But a lot of groups do eventually move to a board of directors, especially if you need to incorporate or if you need to become a nonprofit or want to.
You know, my experience is when you get a bunch of families together that have maybe different rules, there can be some kids that are allowed to do something and other kids aren't allowed to do it. How do you deal with that type of conflict?
Well, what we have just dealt with that this year. We have set down a little bit more in the written rules of conduct. And, of course, these are very broad, but things like we found that some families don't have a problem with horseplay. Some families do, and it came to a point where we said, you know, you're going to have to follow these rules. And we don't have very strict rules, but we always try to remember that the laws that God gave us in the New Testament are to love God above mm-hmm. ourselves and to love others as ourselves. And that's really a much higher law than what God gave to the Israelites in the Old Testament, because they had specific rules, and if it wasn't touched by a rule, it was fine. But mm-hmm. we find that loving others as yourself is much more all-encompassing and gives you a different attitude totally. It's not following a rule, but it's loving that person and taking into consideration how your action might affect them.
It's wonderful to put it on paper, to say this is how it's going to be, but what happens when the rules are broken? How do you deal with that?
We talk to that child and we talk to the parent, because we are an alliance of independent schools. In Texas, a homeschool is legally a private school. So we are a group of separate entities that have come together, that have aligned ourselves to give each of our separate schools extra opportunities that wouldn't be available through our own private schools. So we take that problem and we take it back to their school, to their family, their parents, and explain to them what their child has been doing, and explain what we need to see in terms of behavior. And if necessary, that child on occasion may be asked to sit out the rest of that year's program until we've seen, or, you know, do some type of service or learning exercises before we will talk with them and see how their attitude has changed and allow them to return to those activities. We do have a dress code. It's, up until now, it's been based on modesty, but because our board felt that we had some issues with some families having a different definition of modesty than other families.
I understand.
We have had to lay down a few more rules. And again, they're pretty general, but our board has taken some steps to try to spell out a little more clearly what would be acceptable to our group.
That probably is one of the biggest purposes for Homeschool Alliance, is the support that you have with your board in making sure that your ministry can move forward. Well, thank you, Kathy, so much for being with us today. And thank you, Kathy J., for being my co-host. This is a production of MRG Media Ministries. And we have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.